interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. And I am here in Puerto Rico, where, of course, you find the Arecibo Observatory. It is about 2 hours' drive north of our Bermuda Triangle base. And have you heard the news lately coming from Arecibo? Headline is Mysterious Radio Bursts Detected from Deep Space. But scientists have no handle on what they are. We're talking about a split-second burst of radio waves, but the Arecibo telescope here has scientists very excited. They say that this is the first time such a, quote, fast radio burst, end quote, what they are now calling an FRB, was detected by an instrument other than the Parkes radio telescope in Australia. One of the astrophysicists said this is very important because it eliminates any doubt that these radio bursts are truly of cosmic origin. Just what is causing these bursts is a mystery. They say possibilities include an evaporating black hole, merging neutron stars, or flares sent from magnetars, which are a type of neutron star with extremely powerful magnetic fields. They say, quote, we really have no handle on what they are, end quote. So, you know, my friends, where my mind goes when I hear about this sort of thing, they actually go on to say the bursts only last a fraction of a second, but they think these are occurring possibly 10,000 times per day over the sky, and they are originating from beyond the Milky Way. Now, of course, anytime we get some type of organized, possibly intelligent pattern of information coming from deep space, well, it makes you wonder, is this the first sign of real contact? And boy, is it appropriate for the show that we're going to dig into tonight. You have all picked a really good one. Call your friends, call your family to tune in. We're going to talk a lot about some breaking material related to the alien phenomenon. And speaking of Arecibo, I am working with Mr. George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM to do a special broadcast from Arecibo on the 15th of next month, the anniversary of when the WOW signal was captured. That was a signal that came from space in the 70s that has also been unexplained. So there's a lot of momentum picking up. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to dig into all of it. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited, Sam. I mean, you know, it seems like some kind of tide is changing. And this year for me has just been the year of aliens and UFOs. And you know, Sam, I dig into all of it. A lot of people connect me with ghosts. Other people think about me when it comes to psychic phenomena. But this year, you know, it really started, I guess, back in the spring with my appearance in the alien abduction movie. And then, of course, I've got this TV special coming on tomorrow night, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Now I'm working on this project at Arecibo with George Norrie, and I even have some other big UFO news that I can't quite talk about just yet until all the papers are signed. But I kind of feel like this might be one of those key years when new things are going to be disclosed. And I know that we have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop right there in the studio tonight. And Shelley, you have been to the Arecibo radio satellite dish. It is the largest radio satellite dish on planet Earth, as featured in movies like Contact with Jodie Foster or even the James Bond film GoldenEye. What were your impressions of visiting this enormous dish, Shelley?
It was so cool. I loved the ride there. I loved the experience of being there. And what did they say? You have to be, like, what, 4 feet tall and 80 pounds and wear these special shoes to get down on the bottom and adjust the, what do you call them, the little mirror-looking things on the dish.
To clean the panels. Yes.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, that dish, it's 1,000 feet in diameter, and it's made up of sort of little aluminum grated panels. And from time to time, they need to be cleaned. And so somebody has to go down into the dish wearing these special booties so that the dish is not damaged as they go through and tweak things and repair things and basically maintain it. And one thing that we've talked about on this program before that surprises a lot of people is that even though the antenna was originally designed to function more as a passive mechanism, simply picking up all of these extremely subtle signals from space, it also is now being used to broadcast unimaginable amounts of energy into space. And it kind of, in that capacity, is operating like a gigantic radar system that's sending out a burst and then seeing what bounces back. And sometimes when they crank that thing up to, tens of gigawatts, it's such a powerful beam that if a bird flies over or something like that, the bird just goes poof. It just vaporizes. And so it's essentially a big death ray when it's used to project. But either way, it's a very dynamic thing that's being used a lot for back and forth action. So let me tell you guys a little bit about what we're going to dig into hour two tonight. In addition to just all the usual wild news, and there's plenty of it, tomorrow night I'm going to be one of numerous people featured in the sci-fi original two-hour documentary called Aliens on the Moon, The Truth Exposed. Now, when I say sci-fi, I mean the sci-fi channel, because tomorrow, July 20th, is the 45th anniversary of the first manned lunar landing. And so to celebrate that, the Sci-Fi Channel has produced this new two-hour special. And the guy who really put it all together, Robert Kiviat, he's produced a lot of things over the years for sci-fi and otherwise. And he got in touch with me because he knew about an experience that I had years ago that fit right into this subject matter. For years, I was mentored by a NASA Hall of Fame scientist. And when people ask me, you know, how do you know so much about different types of lab experiment processes and whatnot? Well, one of the big reasons is because I worked on experiments with this man. So one day he called me into his office and he said, I want to show you a piece of video footage from the moon, Josh. And I said, great. And he popped in a VHS tape and hit play. And what we saw on that tape is something we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight on this show during hour number two. And I thought that that was going to be all we were going to dig into tonight. I figured, hey, this it'll be a good way to set people up for the sci-fi program. Well, all of that changed about an hour ago. About an hour ago, I was contacted by a man who says he works in the aerospace industry, and he sent me some documents that appear to be classified government documents about extraterrestrial beings here on Earth. And at first I thought, oh, come on. You know, is this the real deal? Well, it sure does look real. And once it sort of settled in with me that this might be legit, my first thought was, oh, man, I can't wait to read this on the radio. And my second thought was, maybe I shouldn't do that. I mean, you look at these guys like Eric Snowden, and you look at the WikiLeaks people.
Edward Snowden.
Okay, thank you. Edward Snowden. You look at these WikiLeaks people, they're all in a lot of trouble. And so I'm still trying to decide whether or not I want to read any of this information that I have in my hands on the air tonight. I'm going to continue putting thought into this. I'll keep talking off the air with several people and get some advice. But if I decide to read some of this, then I will do that also, hour number two of the program tonight. If I don't read it, I'll tell you a little bit more, as much as I feel comfortable telling you, about this information and where it came from. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And I think, you know, it's leading somewhere big. My goodness. Okay, so that said, we're coming up on our first break already. And when we return from this break, I'm going to just, you know, start digging into all the other strange and crazy and weird news that's happening all around the world. And, you know, we call this the show that digs into the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity. Well, we are definitely going to explore the summit of enlightenment. But when we come back, I have a news story that I'm going to share with you that some of you might find a very exciting thing. It is about the breaking studies indicating the enormous health benefits of smelling farts. This is the show where the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird all blossoms to life for you every weekend. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange. My heart is so pure, a world to see, I am the cure. the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico. Hitchhiking the ET Highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. You can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. You'll also find a link to their website if you go to speakingofstrange.com, along with a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more info on topics discussed, and links to some really cool stuff like the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours and ghost hunts. All that kind of info is at hauntedasheville.com. Those are the oldest and original, created by me. And you'll also find our Facebook page, Twitter links, all that kind of stuff through speakingofstrange.com. Before I get to this news story, I'll tell you guys something kind of funny. You know, I am here in Puerto Rico, and I will be heading back up to Asheville again in the near future here, just in time for the fall. I recently had to rearrange some things here in the complex where I live, and I had to open up a new electrical account. And so, and this is just an account for like a two-story, two-bedroom, two-bathroom condo, right? So I go to open up the account, and everybody, is always griping about how expensive electricity is down here, which is why I use my Sunshine Simple Solar Generator as often as possible. But nonetheless, I go there, I stand in line all day, I open up this new electrical account, I give them a $100 deposit, and then yesterday, my first bill came. I'm holding it in my hands right now, an official bill from the Autoridad de Energía Eléctrica de Puerto Rico. It's the Puerto Rican Electric Company. And from July 1st to yesterday, the bill that I have here is for $8,777.07.
Wow, generator's working real well for you, isn't it?
Tell me that's a different type of dollar. That's a Puerto Rican dollar? What is that?
That is a good old-fashioned United States greenback.
Tell me you don't have to actually pay that.
And so, mind you, I haven't even set up my generator yet on this new account. So this is, $8,777.07 for basically 2 weeks of service. So
you're running a grow op down there?
I may as well. So I called the power company, held on the telephone for about an hour, finally got a lady on there and said, this seems like an awful lot of money to me.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks worth of power at my condo here. So, I hear her typing and typing and clicking and typing and clicking and typing, and then finally she comes back like 15 minutes later and says, okay, we've corrected it. Your new bill is $40.
Our bad.
So you should I think down here, especially the electric company, they will just they sit around, they smoke something, they drink something, they just type in whatever number comes to mind and they hit enter and say, let's see if they pay it, because I don't think there's anything else that they do that's more scientific than that. When I left, I was gone for like 4 months. All the breakers were turned off and everything, and they were still charging me like $1,000 a month for power. And I come back and say, and this is not possible. How did you charge me when all the breakers were off? And they said, well, we just estimated that that might be how much you were using. We didn't know you were gone. So I'm serious. I'm not even joking. Okay. Now let's get to something really serious, shall we? Some wonderful news for, I'm sure, you, Sam, given the time that you spend out there in the world of fast food technology. says here, headline, smelling farts may be good for your health. Says the next, what's that?
I was going to say the methane as our friends across the pond would say. I mean, is that not a poison?
Methane? Well, it says here, the next time you let out a silent but deadly emission, actually it says the next time somebody at your office lets out one, maybe you should thank them. Because a new study at the University of Exeter in England suggests that exposure to hydrogen sulfide, a.k.a., and that's what your body produces as bacteria breaks down, it says could prevent mitochondria damage. So, yes, the implication is what you're thinking. People are taking the research to mean that smelling farts could prevent disease and even cancer.
It seems like you are more in the scientific world than I, but there's always something that's contradictory. Like, this week, farts are great for you and the mighty mitochondria, and next week, farts are going to be bad for you. It's always, they're flip-flopping a lot. You know, don't eat a lot of salt, eat a lot of salt.
Well, it seems to me that generally, generally speaking, things that don't taste good are good for you, right?
Are you saying that farts don't taste good?
Correct, Sam. That is exactly what I am alluding to. And therefore, they probably are wonderful for you. See, how's that for scientific logic?
That is serious stuff.
Because, you know, it's like they say, if you want to be healthy, you know, eat what you don't like. If you want to be just in good shape in general, you know, eat what you don't like and drink what you don't like and do what you don't like to do and you'll live forever, that kind of thing.
Your NASA mentor must be so proud of you right now.
And so maybe, I mean, from that point of view, maybe there is something to this. Because if you just live your whole life on liquor and ice cream, you're probably not going to live as long as everybody else. You're going to be a lot happier, though. So, you know, it's, I guess the quality will probably outweigh the quantity of your life. But for those of you who are really expecting to have a healthy, long, vital existence, apparently you should be sticking your nose in other people's butt cheeks.
Well, whatever works, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They say it is harmful in large doses. Okay, so we want to put that notice out there.
Caveat,
yeah,
large doses.
Yes, but it says, quote, a whiff here and there.
Don't lie. You know we've all smelled your own. You've Dutch ovened yourself every so often.
The power to reduce risks of cancer, strokes, heart attacks, arthritis, and dementia. By preserving mitochondria, something like that. Okay. let's see what else we have here in the news. Coming, okay, here's a story about some other smelly things. Of course, we all know that things are going well in Colorado now that they have legalized marijuana. And there is a new documentary that is premiering there about the process of marijuana being legalized there. The movie is called Mile High, The Comeback of Cannabis. It's the story of Colorado's Amendment 64. And as people show up to go into the theater and watch this premiere, everybody is going to get a free little bag of marijuana as they go in the door.
Very nice.
Yeah. It says a stand-up comic, Adam Hartle, he put this whole thing together. He says, if you're over 21, it's perfectly fine. You can hand somebody a free little bag of marijuana if they're over 21 and no money is exchanged, no problems. So I'm sure that's going to be a packed out premiere, but they're going to have to really crack down on the smoking there if that's something they're not going to allow.
We do the same thing here in the studio before every show.
Sometimes, according to the listener feedback, I believe that. We're going to take a break when we come back. Well, here's an interesting story from Domino's Pizza. And another woman had to call 911 because of her cat. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Can't keep my eyes from sky. Tongue tied, twisted, just an earthbound.
If a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? The words will never show the you I've come to know. And if a face could launch a thousand ships, then where am I to go? There's no one home but you. You're all that's left me to. And when, my love, for life is running dry, you come. You come and pour yourself on me. If a man could be two places at one time, will I be with you tomorrow and today beside you all the way?
Shelley Wright, are you feeling a little tingly right now?
If the world should stop revolving.
You are, aren't you?
No.
See, because for those who don't know what you were listening to there, that was Telly Savalas. And he's standing there in his bald, studly glory with his shirt unbuttoned with this nice medallion on, and he's smoking a cigarette, looking at the camera. Well, there's this giant image of a woman just glassy-eyed, staring at him as he delivers this.
He's like, if a man could be at two places at the same time, I'd be with you. Where's the other place? Like, I'll just go be with her. Like, what else you got to do? Like, I'd be with you and...
And you're wasting a place on that, Tony. Oh, man. You know, once in a while, these very strange, just obscure little things pop up that don't have a place really anymore in today's world, and so I give them a place on Speaking of Strange. So there you have it, folks. Welcome back. That's what we call this show, Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Producer is Sam the Animal Steele. We have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. You can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. And yes, the price of gold and silver are going up, so do not wait too long. We've got some more interesting news stories, but first, you know what, guys? The other day, I wrote a poem.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I don't think it competes with Telly Savalas. But it's short. And
haiku short?
No, it's not haiku short. I don't think it's haiku short. Maybe it is. Well, we all are, of course, aware of the great Hemingway classic, The Old Man and the Sea. So this is called The Old Man and the Pea. Here we go, everyone. Oh, God, the old man had to pee. He almost dribbled on his knee. But he stood fast. He would not flee. He knew the longer he could sit, his slot machine would finally hit.
Now, just out of curiosity, what was going through your head? Like, what made you be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a breather from paranormal investigation and doing these things I do to write a Weird Al-esque parody of The Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. You know, people are always trying to psychoanalyze this, brilliant literary mind and figure out how to extract from it, you know, the meaning, the mystery behind this vast talent. And all I can tell you is that, yes, once in a while, in order to make sure all the full synapses are firing off, I try to write about something that's not necessarily connected to ghosts or UFOs. So the old man in the pea is letting off a little steam.
That'll be available as a as an outro for the online-only Kindle version of your new upcoming book.
That's right. It costs 99 cents.
Or... Or for maybe a contest, you know, we could do something, and maybe a listener could win a handwritten copy of The Old Man and the Pea, handwritten by the Joshua P. Warren.
That's right. I'll even put on some lipstick and kiss it.
Ooh, la la.
I'll give you a lip print. Here's a story that seems a little bit familiar from the UK. A teenager... was hungry one night, and he decided to order a pizza from Domino's. It says that he ordered a large pie, some drinks, and a couple of sides. That would normally cost around $30. But the next time he tried to use his debit card, it came back overdrawn. Well, this kid didn't have a lot of money in his account, but he knew it shouldn't have been overdrawn. So he called the bank, and his account had been charged $300,000. Now, needless to say, Domino's had made a mistake. The cashier who charged him for his order accidentally just tacked on his four-digit bank authorization code into the price. And it's kind of understandable that that can happen. The amazing part of this story is that the bank who handles the restaurant's transactions still charged the guy $300,000 and credited Domino's with the money. So this actually went through. This was a fully processed transaction. So they say, you know, aside from maybe affluent stoners in Washington State or Colorado, who's going to order $300,000 from Domino's Pizza on a late night, it's actually enough to buy the entire store. Mm-hmm. But that, if you've got somebody's credit card number, apparently you can charge something that outrageous and it will actually go through. It will actually work.
Happened to me a couple years ago at the, I won't say which one, but it was one of my favorite Mexican restaurants here in town. And there was a problem at the time with them sending credit card numbers back to family members wherever in Mexico, and they would write down the number and then just use it to buy stuff. And my dad said to me, he's like, hey, did you happen to spend like $1,800 the other week at the Polo Ralph Lauren store in London? I was like, no, that just would not make sense. You know, not that you couldn't, but why would you do it from London and have the pound conversion and all that? But I was like, no, and it turns out they refunded the money and everything, but it had tied back to that particular restaurant. But their chimichangas were so good that I still kept going back, but paid, but paid cash from then on.
Yes, yeah. Cash.
That's what you learn from that experience, pay cash. And, of course, it just goes to show that if you can make a charge like that and you can keep it hidden long enough, you can cash out and run if you're a criminal, and that's what you're good at doing. So
do it on a hotel key card machine. You can buy them online for, like, what, less than $100? Get a box of blank cards, bam.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So we've got a whole series of animal stories, and these are always interesting because that's a tell in the society and the culture when suddenly animals start going a little bonkers. Shelly, you ready with the bell?
I'm ready.
Shelly's got the belly. This is from DeLand, Florida. A woman in DeLand, Florida, called police Saturday evening after her cat, quote, just freaked out and went nuts, says, I got her out of the bedroom, and now she's in my living room, and I can't get out. She's got us trapped in our bedroom, end quote. The woman told the dispatcher that she and her husband had left the cat, a four-year-old Russian blue named Kush, in the bathroom all day. The woman said Kush was fine when she first let her out, but the cat went totally ballistic after seeing Gregory's husband and just turned into a little demon. Let's see here. My husband's arms were totally ripped up. I mean, ripped up, pouring blood, she said on the call. He is hurt badly. The cat is trying to claw its way in here. This thing could kill us. So police dispatched officers with nets. The cat, who the couple says has never had any vaccinations or has ever shown aggression before, is being quarantined for 10 days. So you can presume that thing's going to be on television soon. Here's a story from Alaska. Apparently, a young boy was having a birthday party with all of his friends over, and all of a sudden, a bear came crashing through the skylight in the ceiling. Boom, right into the middle of the party. And unfazed, the bear just immediately started eating cupcakes. They say that, you know, this thing fell right into the middle of the group of children. They're all scattering. The bear keeps sitting there eating cupcakes, devouring everything in sight, and they couldn't get him out. So local wildlife officials believe the animal may be the same bear who broke into another property shortly after the cupcake-eating incident. Well, guess what? They showed up and they killed him. They shot that bear. Yeah. Spokesperson says, we don't take killing or destroying bears lightly, but people were inside the building and it was appropriate for the given situation to stop this bear from breaking into people's houses and eating their food. They say it's not the first time a defiant bear crashed a party. Last year, partygoers in Florida greeted a furry friend after it burst through a fence into a toddler's birthday bash and ate his cake. And also, there was an incident recently in Connecticut at a backyard barbecue.
Well, it's a well-known fact. Bears love red velvet cupcakes. Love them.
We're going to take a break. When we come back in, since we're playing some kind of unusual bumper, I'm going to play some bumper for you that's very popular down here at the karaoke bars in Puerto Rico. And my wife can't stand it. So we'll see what you think about it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Same in my bed, bedded blue floor. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about twice a year. Siempre que aparece, sabes amor, siempre te he recordado, y te miro en cada flor que el colibrí se ofrece, sabes amor, yo siempre te he encontrado. Pájaro que canta cuando amanece y anochece, yo te recuerdo cuando las hojas bailan, cuando el aire
lluvia. How about now, Shelly? Are we giving you cold chills now?
Am I wet now? I'm sorry. I took my headphones off.
She did. Talk about ESP. How did you know that song was going through my head all day?
I could envision Shelly taking her headphones off.
She did.
I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, so now, but now,
and yet you did it anyway.
Take that song and combine that with, like, drunk Puerto Ricans at 10 o'clock at night, all right? That's what you can often experience. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's, like, the funniest song ever. And, of course, Lauren, if I start playing that, she'll leave the room. So that's very effective if I need some time alone. But basically, if you the song in English is called I Remember You, and it's really funny to me, just in my twisted sense, because some of the words are like, well, of course, the guy's saying, I remember you, I'll never forget you. And he says, I see you in each flower the hummingbird collects. I see you on each blooming rose mallow. I see you when the night is white. I remember you when it gets dark at 7. When it gets dark at 7.
Must be daylight savings.
Yeah. What about when it gets dark at 7:43, you're like, screw her, I don't remember this. So anyway, that's some good old Latin American romance for you right there. I Remember You is the English name.
I prefer the Skid Row version.
We are in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And, of course, a little later we're going to talk to Miss Shelley Wright about what's happening now that people are kind of freaking out with all the chaos in the news over the past few days and gold and silver prices going up. But I want to make it clear you should at least write down the number to Wright's Coin Shop and keep it on hand, 828-298-5402. I want to let everybody know as well, of course, I recently did Wishing Machine Webinar number 2. And if you missed it, for now, you can go watch a recording of it. It's 90 minutes. You can watch it for free. Go to wishingmachineproject.com and just click the news section there, wishingmachineproject.com, and watch the new webinar. I mentioned that there are plenty of odd things happening in the news with animals. Mount Vernon, Washington had a problem with a crazy rampaging cow. Says the agitated Angus cow was running through town. It literally tossed a police officer into the air and then jumped up and down on his car. A spokeswoman said the cow apparently escaped from a farm outside the city limits. It was first reported in a Walmart parking lot, chasing all the customers around and attacking them. And then it tried to crash a wedding nearby. Officers were doing everything they could to get this thing under control, but they were having no luck. And finally, the owner agreed, might be time this cow went to the slaughterhouse. And so officers shot the Angus cow and brought the cow down.
That's a shame. Why are you just being all downer, man? You're like a...
I know, man.
I was going to say Sally Struthers, but you're like a Sheryl Crow sung... violent, you know, abuse dog animal.
I usually can't listen to the animal stories.
Yes, let me read you a string of stories about animals being shot to death. How about this one then? This is a happier one.
Hopefully.
As a matter of fact, this is a very loving animal story. Recently, we had Nikola Tesla's birthday, and a lot of people don't realize Nikola Tesla, the great genius, was in love with a pigeon. He was actually celibate. They say married life was not for Tesla. He thought that would hinder his scientific work. But he was unusually fond of pigeons. And it says he used to find ailing pigeons and bring them back to his hotel room. One pigeon in particular stole his heart. He wrote about this pigeon, quote, "I loved that pigeon as a man loves a woman, and she loved me. As long as I had her, there was a purpose to my life."
So, Ron, now I kind of think less of Nikola Tesla.
No, I kind of do.
Well, have you ever seen the Woody Allen movie, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask? and Gene Wilder dresses up a sheep in thigh highs and high heels.
Are you saying that Nikola Tesla got a pigeon, some thigh highs?
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he had a little pair of like thigh highs and high heels and. What do you call these other little straps that women wear?
Garter belt.
Shelly? Garter belt. Yeah, Sam. Why am I talking to Shelly? You know, Sam. hey, I believe it's a good thing it's time for a break. When we come back, well, we're going to head to some really amazing news about, well, what's really happening on the moon and aliens. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.